Welcome to the Broken to Beautiful podcast. Have you been feeling as if you're simply drifting through life with no real purpose? If you felt that tug on your heart, knowing you have more to offer, but feeling weighed down by your past, know that you are not alone. I'm Cherie Haynes, and I understand the struggle because I too was going through the motions for way longer than I'd care to admit. However, after surrendering alcohol to God, a whole new world opened up for me, and I began waking up with a renewed sense of purpose and joy like never before. I know it's scary to think about, but what if letting go of alcohol could be the key to growing closer to God, getting into the best shape of your life, and finally becoming the person He created you to be? Join me weekly for uplifting Bible verses, words of encouragement, and tools to revitalize your body and mind. You, my friend, are here for a reason, and I can't wait for you to begin letting your amazing light shine. So let's go ahead and jump into today's show. Welcome back to the Broken to Beautiful podcast. Today, I want to share with you a powerful journaling exercise that helped me tremendously through my first 30 days of my alcohol-free journey. But before we get to that, I want to share our verse of the week. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5. It is so important to take our thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. So often we create our own turmoil just because of our thoughts. We make things up in our mind and worry about things that might happen and replay them over and over, and most of them never even do, right? Well, that's why this journaling exercise is going to be invaluable to you. Now, I want to share something called The Work with you by Byron Katie, and I'm going to be reading from her book, Loving What Is, 4 Questions That Can Change Your Life. I highly encourage you to pick up a copy of this book because I can only scratch the surface in this episode. And this does take time to really process and fully understand the magnitude of how different life can be when you realize you can simply change your thoughts and live a more peaceful, stress-free life. I will make sure to link the book for you in the show notes. So Byron Katie has a clever saying that makes it easy to remember the process. Judge your neighbor, write it down, ask 4 questions, turn it around. She says, the only time we suffer is when we believe a thought that argues with what is. When the mind is perfectly clear, what is what we want. If you want reality to be different than it is, you might as well try to teach a cat to bark. You can try and try, and in the end, the cat will look up at you and say, meow. Wanting reality to be different than it is hopeless. You can spend the rest of your life trying to teach a cat to bark. Now, this may seem like a silly example, but it's so true. Many times we get so frustrated with situations, but we are literally arguing with reality. When we get to the point where we can just accept reality as it is, we create so much more freedom in our life. Byron Katie goes on to say, the work reveals what you think shouldn't have happened should have happened. It should have happened because it did, and no thinking in the world can change it. This doesn't mean that you condone it or approve of it. It just means that you can see things without resistance and without the confusion of your inner struggle. No one wants their children to get sick. No one wants to be in a car accident. But when these things happen, how can it be helpful to mentally argue with them? She later says, we can know that reality is good just as it is because when we argue with it, we experience tension and frustration. We don't feel natural or balanced. When we stop opposing reality, action becomes simple, fluid, kind, and fearless. And I just want to share a couple more points from her book, and then we will get into the four questions. I just want to lay this foundation so that it all makes more sense. So Byron Katie says, much of our stress comes from mentally living out of our own business. When I think, you need to get a job, I want you to be happy, you should be on time, you need to take better care of yourself, I am in your business. When I'm worried about earthquakes, floods, wars, or when I will die, I am in God's business. And this part always makes me laugh, but it's so true. She says, if you are living your life and I am mentally living your life, who is here living mine? We're both over there. Being mentally in your business keeps me from being present in my own. I am separate from myself, wondering why my life doesn't work. So Byron is essentially saying that to think we know what's best for anyone else is none of our business. Our only business is what is right for us, and we have enough to work on ourselves, right? So we don't need to be spending all of our precious time and energy trying to run someone else's life. I hope this is making sense. I had to read this book over and over to fully comprehend it, and you might need to do the same. But I really hope you set aside some time to do this because it truly is transforming work. Okay, so are you ready for the details? Now, before I share them, I highly encourage you to listen to this when you have time to actually do the work. Or if it's easier, listen to it all the way through and then schedule a time, possibly tomorrow morning, during your morning routine, to journal through something that's been bothering you. This will never impact you in a meaningful way if you simply listen to it audibly. As Byron Katie says in chapter 2, the first step in the work is to identify the thoughts that are causing your stress and to write them down. These thoughts can be about any situation in your life, past, present, or future, about a person you dislike or worry about, a situation with someone who angers or frightens or saddens you, or someone you're ambivalent or confused about. Write your judgments down just the way you think them. Use short, simple sentences. So now think about this for yourself. Is there something that recently upset you, such as a fight with your husband, a situation at work, a frustration about money, or even feeling deprived that you can't drink with your friends this weekend? Keep that in mind. Byron Katie says, when you do the work, you see who you are by seeing who you think other people are. Eventually, you come to see that everything outside you is a reflection of your own thinking. You are the storyteller, the projector of all stories, and the world is the projected image of your thoughts. Have you ever thought about it in that way? I know I hadn't, but once I started doing this work, I realized what I was seeing in other people and what bothered me about them were actually things I also saw in myself, things that I needed to work on. Byron encourages us by saying, I invite you to contemplate for a moment a situation where you were angry, hurt, sad, or disappointed with someone. Be as judgmental, childish, and petty as you were in that situation. Don't try to be wiser or kinder than you were. This is a time to be totally honest and uncensored about why you were hurt and how you felt in that situation. Allow your feelings to express themselves as they arise without any fear of consequences or any threat of punishment. So this is your time to get it all out of your head and onto paper. Let yourself go crazy. I wanted to take a quick minute to let you know I created a free morning meditation just for you. If you need some motivation to kickstart your morning and get into that flow state, priming you for a productive day, make sure to download it for yourself. I will have a link for you in the show notes. Now, let's get back to the show. All right, now here are the four questions you'll ask yourself. I'll share them now, and then I'll give you a personal example of how I used them with a thought that was causing me stress. Okay, number one, you'll ask yourself, is it true after you put the thought down? And you'll answer a simple yes or no. The second question you'll ask, can you absolutely know that it's true? Again, yes or no. Number three, how do you react? What happens when you believe that thought? Obviously, you'll answer that. Whatever is coming up for you that is causing you the stress, how are you feeling about that thought that you have in your mind? Number four, who would you be without the thought? So this gives you the opportunity to take a step back and just imagine, if I didn't have this thought, how would I feel? How much more peaceful would I feel? How much better would I feel if I didn't have this thought, that was upsetting me? And then the last step is called turnaround. So find at least three specific, genuine examples of how each turnaround is true for you in this situation. So basically, it's kind of the opposite of what your initial thought was. Okay, so here is an example. Now, before the holidays, I had some stress about what the holiday season was going to look like without alcohol. So the thought that was causing me stress was this: the holidays are going to be challenging this year without having alcohol. So number one, is it true? I answered yes. Number two, can you absolutely know that it's true? And I had to say no. And just to expand upon that, obviously it was no in that moment because I had not even experienced that time in my life yet. So how could I know that it was going to be challenging? So number three, how do you react? What happens when you believe that thought? So I get nervous as I think about the holiday parties and all of the events that I normally drink at. I don't look forward to them as much because I won't have my liquid courage there to support me. Number four, who would you be without the thought? I would be happy and looking forward to really being present. I would be grateful that I can enjoy these experiences with a clear mind and wake up the next morning feeling amazing. And then the turnaround that I had was, the holidays aren't going to be challenging this year without alcohol. The holidays are going to be the best ever now that I'm not drinking. So this is just one of many examples. A lot of the things that I had to work through were really personal, and you'll probably have some of those too. But I cannot even describe the relief I felt when I really allowed myself the time to process my emotions and go through these questions and realize the outcome I would rather have was just a thought away, and it just took a change in perspective. Isn't that powerful? So now it's your turn. Please do this work for yourself, and I have a feeling you'll find so much relief. It will become a daily process for you too. Sometimes you might even do this multiple times per day, but every time you would normally turn to alcohol to numb your feelings about something, turn to this exercise instead. And again, I want to go back to our verse of the week. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5. So let's go into the rest of this week committing to take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Now, before you go, I would love to pray with you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the reminder today that we are to take our thoughts captive. I didn't realize how much pain and suffering I was causing myself by thinking all of these thoughts. Please keep this verse at the forefront of my mind, and every time an unpleasant thought comes up, remind me to do the work. In your Son's name I pray, amen. Have an amazing week. God bless.